I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché. You go
right. Yes, it's time for Touché. Monday nights here on the Download 720. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me tonight, in replace of Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling, the White House was just like, Roebling and Lundy, they gotta go. No, they're just off. It's like Trump is running who's on the program. No, in tonight, Chris Peronis and Kevin Lampe, ready to spar tonight based on the news of the week. I gotta say, you know, the weekends are just becoming as important as the weeks. I mean, what we saw this weekend with both the story with Michael Flynn in Russia, but also what happened with the testing of ballistic missiles in North Korea and the strange, almost absurdist sort of display that was on was at the terrace at Mar-a-Lago. It just feels like weekends are becoming much more salacious than the weeks.
How exciting to be at Mar-a-Lago for dinner and be able to Snapchat an international incident.
It really felt that way. I mean, I don't know if this is, again, we've talked about it on this program, if it's just, you know, this is going to be a new White House with a new way that of business, and it's not that big of a deal that he was having, you know, international conversations in public. I mean, is this a story? Is it overblown by the media, or is there something to the fact that, you know, there was business being done in view of people at a country club?
Probably a little awkward. You'd want to pick up whatever the situation is, whatever the gravity is, and take it inside. The prime minister didn't, have an inclination to do that. It could be overblown. There's also this piece that whatever Trump does, no one's going to give him an inch. So, I mean, there's that piece of it, too. I think
the real problem was, is that Trump wanted to charge Trump for an extra banquet room in order to go have a meeting. And so instead, well, let's just do this national security thing here, and let's put out all the papers, and then everybody can Snapchat it, and somebody will Facebook Live it, and then we can everybody can participate.
That is funny. He saved the American government some money by not using another.
Looking at those prices, probably a $12,000 rental fee. What AV has got to be at least $15,000-$30,000.
Well, let's talk about depressing stories today. That story seems to be that's so Sunday. Let's talk about today. A lot about Michael Flynn and his relationship with Russia. Obviously, there was a call that was made that has been in the news for a couple weeks now. Based at first, he denied talking about the sanctions that the Obama administration had put on Russians. Now, you know, intelligence officers have come out and said, we taped those calls, man. We I hate to tell you, but you should know that you're always
being really
observed. It really does. And they're saying, no, you did talk about it. Mike Pence is involved because the vice president came out in support of Michael Flynn. What do we make here? Are we on the verge of Donald Trump's first firing?
Yeah, I think we are. And I think this isn't going to be the only one. I think the bullseye is on a few people, including Rance Priebus. Flynn could be the first one to go in the next couple of weeks. What he did was very serious. He not only lied to the vice president, but he lied to the nation, too. He's also, I think, out of all of them, the most unhinged out of all the cabinet picks. I mean, of course, Kevin thinks the entire cabinet's like the Manson family. But
not as organized as that.
Family, right? Yeah. So, but he's likely to go out. It's probably a good thing. And you want people like Mattis and Tillerson in there who know what they're doing, who've got policy experience, who know who they are, quite frankly. Those are the people that need to be driving policy.
Kevin, from the Democratic
it's like
side.
They're the hall monitors. But, poor Flynn, it's announced today, Kellyanne announced as well, the president's fully confident in Flynn, which is exactly what a university president says the night before they fire the head football coach.
Right.
The only thing missing about that is 100% confident.
Right.
120%, 140%. You're gone by Tuesday.
Let me ask you this question. I mean, is Michael Flynn is he the guy if Trump goes ahead and replaces him, let's say quickly, does the Russian controversy over Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin go away?
No, Russian stuff is not going away. Flynn is toast. He'll be gone by the end of the week. And then we'll see what the next piece of bread comes up that's going to get toasted. And it is going to be a challenge. They're going to pet somebody in, but the Russian stuff is not going away. It's too interesting. There's a great villain.
There's a great villain, and the congressional Republicans want an investigation. And quite frankly, we should.
I feel sorry. You know, when has it been that the Republicans are defending the dictator of Russia? How did that happen?
Kevin. Well, a little credit is in order.
Okay,
here.
All right. The autocrat ruler of Russia.
You've got McConnell and Ryan, and you've got key committee heads of jurisdiction saying we should do this. We should absolutely investigate.
Yes, and they're whispering it very slothily, but we're not really going to talk about it that much. We're going to let the president talk about it, and we're going to stay out of the way because we'll get it with shrapnel.
But I mean, there has been some criticism that the Republicans at some point in Congress they need to stand up to some of the chaos that's happening around the Trump administration. Do you see them sort of getting in line and staying behind the president, or are you going to start to see splinter kind of situations like Russia where they go, like what we saw with John McCain last week, where he's just like, you know, hey, listen.
They're going to support the president when it produces good policy, tax reform, the repeal of Obamacare. And when Trump has an eruption, they're just going to sit back and let it happen.
You think so?
That's how I see this playing out. It's going to be hard to play that game. But Kevin,
let me ask you about the Democrats, because we've seen them lose a very high profile. Now, they will say, hey, there was unprecedented that Vice President Mike Pence had to cast the vote for Betsy DeVos. But at the end of the day, the Democrats lost. They put everything in. They tried to filibuster everything, and they lost that fight. Do the Democrats right now, do they feel like off of this Trump chaos that's happening in the first couple weeks, do they feel like they're getting their footing?
They need to. Well, as a Democrat, we need to understand what the role of the party of the opposition. And there is a role. In government around the world, the party of opposition is the party that needs to speak up. And the Democrats are learning on who is going to be the best spokesperson. Elizabeth Warren has done an amazing job. The way women rose up on the persistent line, it was as if we gave that line to Mitch McConnell and wrote it. I would love to have offered that line, you know, particularly because all the T-shirt sales that you're going to get from all the persistent T-shirts. But the Democrats are learning their way, and you're going to see some people start to emerge. You're going to see some people in Congress. You're going to see some governors, who are going to start to take a look at what they can do and and look at their own ability to kind of grab that national stage.
Yeah.
I'd be concerned. I mean, you're looking at this DNC chair selection. What a mess. It's like everyone's in denial. No one wants to do straight talk and say, we screwed up this election.
Oh, you obviously have not been listening to the people who are talking.
Who's talking? Who's saying
Chris
that,
Chris Ellison
Kevin?
Is saying we made a mistake. People are talking about the fact we did this wrong. You know, I've listened and I've talked to these people.
You heard him on the Sunday shows.
He is talking about the problem, the things that Democrats need to do to fix it.
I heard we need to retool our message. And when I hear that, I just roll my eyes and I'm like, well, Republicans are going to have another run at it for the next 4 years.
Well, let's start. Let's take a quick break. Chris Varonis and Kevin Lampe in studio tonight, filling in for Roebling and Lundy on Touche. We come back. We got to talk immigration. The sort of ICE raids that have happened over the weekend have brought, and of course, what happened with the courts and the response from the Trump administration, including a strange Sunday morning talk show run with Stephen Miller, one of the White House advisors. We'll talk all about that coming up here on Touche. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
All right, Chris Varonis, Kevin Lampe in studio. We are in the midst of our Monday segment, Touche, in for Roebling and Lundy this week. All right, so let's get, there's a lot to talk about. One, I kind of mentioned right at the end about immigration, but let's start with Stephen Miller, who was the spokesperson that was chosen by the Trump administration for the Sunday morning talk shows. He did, felt like 7 or 8 interviews across the board, and he was, just panned across the board. Everyone did not like his demeanor. They didn't like what he had to say. He didn't do well. There's so many jokes going around about him. But again, is it something that anyone cares about except for the sort of, you know, the belt?
The beltway. Yeah. I think what's going on here, unfortunately, is Donald Trump is involved too much in the day-to-day operations of the White House, where he's watching Sunday morning programs, Saturday Night Live and making policy as a result of it. So what I personally think is he's in search of the right spokesman with the right hard edge. And to yesterday, they landed on Stephen Miller. I tend to agree with some of the comments that have been out there that what he was saying was, forget judicial review, for example.
You know, that
the courts have the final say. But I think optically, too, it just there's a sinking feeling that happens in people when they see that.
You know.
He's a young guy. He's 31 years old.
You know, and it's like, you know, every time I hear his name, all I hear in my head is my vinyl album singing, you know, Joker's to the left of me, you fools to the right. Here I am stuck in the middle with you.
And that wasn't the Steve Miller band, but
and,
go ahead.
Hopefully
your policy calls are better.
That's what I hear. But the challenge is you have to look like the spokesperson.
Right.
And, you know, when I send my clients out into the world, you know, your messenger has to be acceptable to the mind's eye and to the eye of the viewer. And they have to look at them and go, okay, I trust you. I believe you. I know what you're going to say.
The spokesman should be persuasive. You know, like if they could have a guy like Jim Baker with like a southern drawl and, you know, that's the kind of bedside manner they need. But they'll never ever select.
I look at Steve, and all I see is Peter Sellers and Dr. Strangelove, you know, trying to hold his arm down. And this is, you know.
I thought you said that about Steve Bannon. How many people are trying to hold back their right arm, Kevin?
Well, that's a good question
everybody?
For the White House. Yeah,
jeez.
That's a good question for the White House there. But the challenge is they don't know what they're doing yet. And Trump is used to being a CEO who says things and people jump and everybody does it.
Yeah.
And that's just not how
Never
it works.
Never had a boss.
Ronner is used to that. Oh, I think you had a terrible boss at home. It's like daddy issues just got to be coming
out.
Let me ask you
about the president. I'm fascinated about whether or not, you know, because there's so many pieces that have come out and thought pieces, Sunday pieces in the New York Times about what kind of White House it is, leaks abound, him walking around lonely, this, that, and the other. You know, is this the kind of
–
yeah, the bathroom. But is this the kind of thing that ruffles his feathers, the idea that every time he has it's at Mar-a-Lago and now everyone's questioning what he's doing, or, you know, Stephen Miller in the way that, you know, this wasn't the right – does he not care?
The leaks are serious. There are an incredible amount of leaks that are going on right now. You have to think it's creating a paranoia. There is even a story that intelligence operatives are looking at the handheld devices and the computers of some of the inner circle. So people are looking over their backs. People are freaking out. But people are also, going against the president. He's looking at that as betrayal.
Yeah.
So it is real.
Yeah.
It is real what's...
And to be leaking like they are, leaking like a sieve, that just, you know, I've dealt this and I've helped people deal with leaks in their own political offices. And you don't know who you trust, and you don't know, you know why they're doing it, because they want to win favor or get the next job up the ladder. But you're in the White House, man. You know, you can't go much higher than that. So why are you leaking? Do you want to be the one that takes down your boss?
Well, leaks happen in every White House, but these leaks are especially concerning.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the policy. You know, we saw with the travel ban and the court decision last week, and this is a lot what Stephen Miller was talking about, the fact that, you know, there should be unquestioned presidential power in this situation. But what we've seen is that there's been a hold. There's a pause to say, and this is sort of a thought that perhaps the White House is going to rewrite the executive order. Instead of pressing ahead and trying to go to the Supreme Court with this decision, they may say, hold up. We're just going to rewrite it so it's more legal. Yeah. I mean, do you see that happening? Is this something that you see the Trump administration actually conforming to?
They've got no
to?
Choice. Politically, they have to slow walk this. Trump, another bee in Trump's bonnet is the rollout of this order, which was sloppy, and he blames his staff on it. And everyone believes that now, not even Republicans. They need to slow walk it and presumably get Gorsuch in there. Because they can't afford the humiliation of taking this to the court. And have a 4-4, which is essentially no policy.
Right. I mean, do Democrats recognize that, that there might possibly be a way that he rewrites it and this may be a slow walk, Chris said, and they're waiting for a new judge?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's the logical thing to do. The problem is they don't do anything logically. But the wise course for them is to write it carefully and then roll it out carefully. But, you know, Trump is used to running things where if it doesn't turn out well, I'm going to tell everybody it's okay and I'm still going to be able to sell condos. And but now he has policy, which he doesn't really know how to sell. And he needs to learn how to sell ideas as opposed to being able to sell a piece of property. Hmm. But the piece of property, you can put up some stucco and you can cover up the mistakes. Here, you can't. You can't just, you know, put some molding around bad policy.
I mean, there is something to be said. Both of you guys have worked in government, or at least with consulting with government. There is a lot of government is ideas, or politics are ideas that you have to persuade people over. And maybe that's something that is new to this administration, to Trump, who hasn't had to persuade as much as sell.
Right.
And it's a big difference. I sold radio advertising when I first got out of college. It's, you know, you're selling air.
I mean, he did a great job of persuading the American people to vote for him. So he is charming in the sense that he knows that, you know, he gets up on stage every night and he's in front of arenas full of people. So, I mean, he does have that charm.
That may be part of the problem with Trump in that he hasn't stopped campaigning. There's no bright line between the campaign and governance. He thinks what worked in the campaign should work for the next 4 years. And I think that's going to come back to bite.
And this is the sort of taking on even what we saw with Elizabeth Warren, bringing back the Pocahontas Barb, some of the things that he said to, you know, that even
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
This concept that he is continuing to play the games that he played in the campaign.
Because he was good at that. That was his strength. That's what got him to the office. The challenge is, though, one of the hardest things about being a president is the briefings. And is sitting there and going through page by page by page by page. And I've briefed presidents and presidential candidates in my career. And the ones that ask the most questions, the ones that take the time to read every word and understand and then ask tough questions, they're in a better position to explain their policy and believe in their policy.
Do you think, I mean, I think about the protests today in Milwaukee. It was really about the ICE raids and what's happening in immigration. There's some that you read the thought pieces that say that the immigration and deportations that are happening with ICE are standard, that this is what Obama did as well.
Absolutely.
Do you think that the news and just the way that it's playing out, even from the opposition, do you think that everyone is I don't want to be so Pollyanna about it, but being unfair to the president? I mean, this seems to be an American government issue more than a President Trump issue.
I will, you know, having some original source, you know, I'm working on a huge political asylum case right now. I'm working with a number of immigration lawyers. I've been out at O'Hare working with the immigration lawyers out there. They are shocked at the intensity and the home raids now that are going on by ICE, not just workplaces, but going from house to house in neighborhoods looking for undocumented workers. This is not precedent as far as the immigration community is concerned.
Do you know what this really is? It's the Democrats and the left wing not wanting to normalize Trump. That's all this is.
No.
It just happens to manifest itself in immigration. Now, I'll tell you, Kevin, I'm one of those Republicans who happens to be for immigration reform. But at the same time, and I do think the policy morally was not a good thing. But at the same time, Obama, the deporter in chief. That's who he was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chris Varonis, Kevin Lampe, Touche. Thanks, guys, for filling in tonight here for Roebling and Lundy. We'll be back on Monday. Guys, thanks so much.
Our pleasure.